T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
Yes, indeed. The Weekend Report is on your radio, and we appreciate you listening to it. Tony Colombo here. My partner Chris Arps right there.
Tony.
Has done it again. Great to see you.
Hey, how was the Bass 100-pound catfish tournament?
The catfish,
how did that go?
Classic. You know what?
Did you catch one?
So a little bit earlier today during Second Amendment Radio, we actually talked to Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors and the organizer of the Alton Catfish Classic, which was last weekend. And you can go back and you can listen to that interview. Just download the podcast of Second Amendment Radio. But yeah, it was amazing. The big fish was a 92-pound catfish.
That's a lot of eating.
Yeah, it was funny because the winning team was about 96 pounds when you put their three fish together.
Okay. Mm.
The guy who caught the big fish at 92 pounds
almost
only put in one other fish that was like a pound and a half.
That's all he needed, though, right?
Well, no,
because he didn't win.
He finished second. So, yeah, the team that had like three 32-pounders were able to win.
Carl, you can see I don't go to many fishing tournaments. I didn't understand.
It's all about the weight, Chris.
Yeah, go back and check that out. It was a great time. Go check out that interview on the Second Amendment Radio podcast. And big thanks to Mark McMurray, who's been such a big supporter of this radio station and this fine program.
I was at Long John Silver's, and I thought about you Saturday.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's why it came to mind.
That's 92 pounds of breading.
We have a big show today. We have, once again, Carl Middleman, producer to the stars, has come through and booked a heck of a show that you don't want to miss. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk to James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, Missouri, and he is also the president of the Municipal League, which has made some news this week. The Municipal League was sort of the main organization that was opposing Better Together and the idea of a city-county merger.
Mm-hmm.
News reports out this week that say that there is a new merger plan being put together by the Municipal League.
Huh.
Doesn't seem to make any sense.
Don't tell Mark Cox.
So we'll get that cleared up. Yeah, we'll get that cleared up with James Knowles coming up in the next segment and see what is going on with that. My guess is there's some gaps that need to be filled in.
A lot of gaps. And I have some questions.
Yes, me too. My guess is there's lots of gaps that need to be filled in, and James will do that for us. Also, coming up a little bit later on this hour, we are going to talk once again to Karen Fessler. She is our Iowa political insider. Of course, the Iowa caucus keeps getting closer and closer, and the eyes of the political world, the election world, are on Iowa, and Karen is going to give us an update of what's happening there on the ground. And then we are going to start next hour with the return of Corey Lewandowski to the Weekend Report.
Woo!
Fresh off the hot seat on Capitol Hill.
He was there for the hot seat
on Capitol Hill. He was there for the impeachment probe, I think is what it was called.
Made a
whole lot of news. I don't think there was any bigger news in the national news cycle this week than Corey Lewandowski and the impeachment probe of the House Judiciary Committee. So
he made fools of those folks.
He really did.
He really very entertaining.
He handled himself very well, and we're going to talk to him about that.
Stupid.
And last time Corey was on the show, you really leaned on him to make an announcement about him running for Senate or not. Maybe we can get him to finally make that announcement right here on the Weekend Report.
We'll twist his arm.
Yeah, all right.
We got Carl here to help us.
Yeah, that's about exactly 1 hour from now at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. That's when we're going to talk to Corey Lewandowski. Also next hour is the return of Skip Weber.
Yeah,
and the Weird News
Miss
Challenge.
Skip.
And this Weird News Challenge is going to be different than any other game we have played. We just, a couple weeks ago, celebrated the 50th episode of the Weird News Challenge, and episode 51 is going to be unlike any other that we have done, and you don't want to miss it. Skip is going to be in for that. Also, our friend Trish Gazelle from 102.5.
That doesn't sound like it's going to be good for me, though.
I don't know. Well, I guess we're going to find out.
I don't do well in special
games. It's going to be different. Okay. We will we'll let you know throughout the show. I'll let you know what's happening with that. So we have got a packed show. Lots of great guests. So don't go anywhere right now. I want to start with what we call the week in review, kind of go through some of these big stories of the week. Let's start with that impeachment probe that we are going to talk to Corey Lewandowski about at the top of the next hour. Obviously, we're going to get his thoughts on what happened on Capitol Hill. What are your thoughts, Chris Arps, on what happened on Capitol Hill with that impeachment probe?
Well, I think Corey Lewandowski, I think the president and everyone else who call these impeachment probe hearings, quote unquote, a witch hunt, are exactly right. You know, we talked about at the beginning of the show, Corey Lewandowski gave a primer on how to conduct yourself on hearings that are basically amount to a witch hunt. I think this is a joke. I think the Democrats are going to be known once again as the party of impeachment. They're not only talking about impeaching President Trump, but they're also now talking about impeaching Judge Kavanaugh, which is another issue we'll probably get into. So I think the Democrats are listening to their far left wing base who are supporting impeachment. But I think in the long run, this is a winner. And when it comes to President Trump and whoever they nominate to run against him, they're not going to have any legislative achievements. The only thing that's going to be in the public's mind is impeachment.
I don't mean to sound so
go ahead
one-sided and okay. So just against a group of politicians.
It's okay.
But do the Democrats just have no shame? Because their behavior,
is that rhetorical?
Their behavior. I mean, it's unbelievable. And look, and I don't put much past any politician. So maybe the Republicans would be doing the same thing if there was a Democrat in office that they didn't like. But I have just never seen a political party behave the way that they have behaved in the last 2.5 years. The obstruction, the twisting of facts, the creation of facts in some cases. And I mean, I just can't even envision what it would have been like to see David Axelrod, who ran Barack Obama's campaign, sitting in front of a Republican-led House Judiciary Committee in something called an impeachment probe. Mm-hmm. It's just, I can't believe we're here. And it scares me for the future of the country that this is where politics have gone.
I mean, the bottom line, Tony, and you hear this all the time, and it sounds like a political talking point or a cliche, but the Democrats' behavior shows that this is true. They have not gotten over the 2016 election. They thought Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in to win, and they can't believe that the country has made a mistake by electing Donald Trump, and they've got it in their craw, and they just can't let it go. And because they all live and work in an echo chamber, they believe that the Twitterverse that's behind this and the people that they go to the cocktail hours with believe this also, but they don't understand that the people that are in this radio network and flyover country are not for this. And they're just heading over the cliff like lemmings, thinking this is what the American people want.
I'm going to tie two stories in together here that I want to get your thoughts on, Chris. The idea of blackface is back in the news with the situation with the Canadian Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. He was revealed to have worn blackface or brownface now as a term that we're using.
Because he was dressed as an Indian, as Aladdin.
He was, it was an Arabian Nights party in 2001. He wore blackface at a talent show in high school where he sang Deo, the Jamaican folk song.
Deo!
Yes.
Deo!
A video has come out of him wearing blackface at another event when he was a young man, and when he was actually asked, how many times he's worn blackface, he said he couldn't say. Yeah. So there must be even more.
There have been
three confirmed, right? But he, when asked how many times have you done it, he said, "I don't know."
Well, I'm going to tell you.
That's not
as
good.
As a person who has worn blackface his entire life, it depends on me, the context of why they are wearing blackface. If you are at a Halloween party or you're at a talent show and you're dressing up like Diana Ross or a character from a Disney movie,
yeah,
that doesn't bother me. But if you're dressing up as Amos and Andy or you're doing minstrel actions, yeah, and you're doing something offensive,
yeah,
on purpose to mimic black people to bring them down, that's where I have the problem. And this political correctness where something is harmless is dressing up as Aladdin or the other person, the celebrity that dressed up as Diana Ross at a Halloween party,
yeah,
and now that is considered racist and offensive and you have to go on national TV and bare your soul and apologize for being insensitive and because of your privilege, it's just getting ridiculous.
I know there are kids that were, you know, in middle school in the 90s that wanted to be Michael Jordan and probably put on a Michael Jordan basketball.
I have no problem with that, but now they're going to be, once that comes out, yeah, now they're going to be apologizing
done.
That I idolized Michael Jordan in middle school and I wore brown paint at a school party and now I'm a racist, and you know, it's just ridiculous.
It's really interesting and enlightening to talk to you about this subject because the way that the media portrays it is that every time a picture of a person in blackface gets put on a television screen or printed in an article somewhere, every single black person in America is deeply, yeah, deeply offended.
And it has to be in context. I mean, look, if someone, like what happened with former Governor Mel Carnahan in the 2000 election, it came out in the 60s that he wore blackface with a couple of other gentlemen at a Kiwanis Club meeting in like 1961. Yes, that's wrong, but you've got to put in the context at that time, people weren't necessarily trying to be racist or offensive, but that act wasn't offensive.
We
lack context, yeah, in all of these so-called controversies.
Amen.
Now.
We need to look at them in the context that they were held in, and we need to have a little bit of consistency, because what drives me crazy is that for some people, a picture of them in high school with blackface on it could be a career ender. It could be the end of their public life. And some people, it's not even a speed bump. Yeah. It doesn't affect them in any way. It just kind of depends on how woke you are and how accepted you are.
Well, it all depends on if you want to look at it in context. The thing with Jimmy Kimmel and all of them, people looked at what that was. He wasn't trying to be offensive. He,
right,
was wearing brown face as a comedy skit, but he wasn't trying to offend people. You know, with the liberals, they can put things in context when it comes to racial matters. But if it's a conservative or a Republican, there is no context. Everything has to be put in today's realm, and you're considered automatically a racist because of blackface.
So here's the other story. A video made by Joy Reid this week made some waves. In the video, Reid said that white Christian men in America are willing to enact apartheid to maintain power. She says, quote, "No country is an eternal democracy, and when you have a very determined minority, in this case, wealthy white men and wealthy white Christian men and Christian Americans who are the fundamentalist variety, who are very clear that no matter what happens, if they have to pull the South Africa model to maintain power forever, they will do it. And they're not afraid of it, and they're increasingly open about it. And Donald Trump is merely an avatar for this." Have you heard any Christians being open about the idea of enacting apartheid to stay in power? Because apparently she says that that people are increasingly open about it.
Look,
and Donald Trump is leading the charge.
All this is an amalgamation of black, liberal, nationalist theology and feminist theology all combined into one. I don't know anyone that thinks that white Christian men want to turn this country into apartheid. You know, I've said this many times on the radio here and in other places, that there has been a disturbing trend among the African American community that has gotten away from traditional Christianity and view that as quote unquote the white man's religion. And I think Joy Reid's comments are a reflection of that when she talks about white Christian men. I think that's just part of that philosophy. And also she's an adherent to feminism, and that incorporates that too. It's just nonsense. It's just politics of anger and division. And I'm just thinking, long run, doesn't help anybody, especially black people, the people she supposedly wants to help.
So when I go to church, my church, and Gabe Pfeiffer, who is on the show and on the station a whole bunch, is part of that church as well. I don't go nearly as much as I should, but when I do go, it's 50-50, if not 60-40, in African-American representation over the white people that go to my church. So for me, and it's always been that way growing up in North County, and for me, this idea that you just put out there that I'm just hearing about for the first time, that not from you just now, but I mean just recently, that suddenly Christianity is a white man's religion.
It's more you see it among my generation below millennials, especially millennials.
It's just mind-blowing to me because it's always been in the churches that I've been, the African-American community has always been very represented in the Christian churches that I have gone to, and some of the most religious people that I know and some of the smartest religious scholars that I know are black men and women. So this idea of Christianity is the white man's religion now, and it's going to be what going to trigger apartheid in
this
country?
Always been a mindset that's always been there. The Black Panthers and people in the 60s were trying to get people away from religion, Christianity, because it was the white man's religion. That was a religion that was given to us during slavery. Most black people have rejected that. My parents' generation, my generation, are still strongly Christian and still believe in that. But what you're seeing, though, is the millennial generation, the 20s and below, they are rejecting Christianity, and
rejecting religion.
Organized
religion.
They're not. What they are embracing is this pseudo religion that's based on our quote unquote Egyptian ancestors, where we pray to our dead ancestors for guidance, and we use the third eye. So they are practicing religion.
Spiritualism.
It's not it's Christianity. It's the tradition. It's the religion that we had in Africa. That was our natural religion, and that's what they are going back to.
Well, let's before we end this segment, I want to have a little bit of fun, and maybe this will affect everybody's religion going forward. Did you see that are you familiar with the UFO tapes?
Yeah.
The tic-tac, they call it the tic-tac, little
white
dot.
Yes, it looks like a tic-tac.
The video that came out a couple years ago that is from the Navy. The Navy confirmed this week that those videos are real.
They don't know what they are.
And they don't know what they are.
It is
they don't
an
know
unidentified flying object.
They're not saying that they are alien, but they're saying, we don't know what this is, and we've never seen.
And it's real undoctored.
It's real undoctored footage. The craft is not anything that we are capable of duplicating.
I'm not surprised.
Are the aliens here?
I don't think they're aliens, and we've talked about this before. From my spiritual religion, Christianity, my viewpoint is that I don't believe these are aliens. I believe what these are manifestations are angels. And if you look at the Christian religion, they talk about angels. We have our own personal angels that protect us. There are angels that protect nations.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe these are angels that are protecting the United States. So, I believe they are seeing something. I don't believe they're aliens. I think these are spiritual beings.
Are they aliens, Carl?
I don't believe they're the aliens that everyone is wasting their time spending in Utah this weekend. I think it is. It doesn't. Who's to say, Chris, that the thing you are talking about might be the same thing that Tony's talking
about.
In
terms of what?
Yeah.
How do we know that aliens are angels? We don't know. Because
now your mind's blown.
No, because if you're a Christian and your Bible tells you these are aliens, these are creatures that are made in God, who are a higher above us spiritually and on a different realm. So
I love that. I love that interpretation. And that's what's really cool about the fact that these are real videos. Yeah. Is now we know there's something there, and let's figure it out.
And are then they'll angels, figure it out, and then aliens, it was a hoax. And
are they Chinese technology that we're unaware of? But it's cool stuff.
They're angels.
Yep, we got to wrap it up, but we have got a huge show for you today. Corey Lewandowski coming up later, Karen Fessler from Iowa, and James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, is going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, Carl Middleman in studio, and joining us on the phone, as I mentioned in that last segment, our friend James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson. Great to talk with you, Mr. Mayor. How are you doing today? Yeah, you bet. So you are a member of the Municipal League, which, if people will remember, was one of the groups that was opposed to the Better Together group. That was the Better Together group, of course, was the main driving force behind city-county merger a few months ago that ended up kind of collapsing. Can you explain what the Municipal League is and what your role with that group is?
Sure. I'm the president for this year for the St. Louis Municipal League. You know, we were one of the groups, there was a couple groups that we worked with, but we were one of the groups that strongly opposed, Better Together's process and ultimately their plan to try to force a large-scale merger on the St. Louis City and County region. And so one of the things that we really thought was bad about the Better Together plan was the process in which they underwent to come up with this plan. We've said all along that we think there needs to be a conversation, there needs to be an inclusive process that people can participate in throughout the area, not just elites, not just people who are backed by, you know, billionaires' money. We want to have a conversation about what we think we can improve in our region and actually figure out what that is, not have some plan kind of backdoor
right.
Put into place. And so we went out and collected the signatures, which we now have in both the city and the county, to establish a board of freeholders, which will be appointed by the mayor, the county executive, and one by the governor, who will actually take the next year, we hope, to have a participatory process, an inclusive process, a conversation throughout the St. Louis region about what is going on in our communities, what do we think we can do better, and how we could do that, especially as it pertains to our government and our structures. You know, people say, well, this could be another Better Together, this could be a merger. You know, there's been merger plans put forth in the past by the Board of Freeholders. There's also been plans like MSD. MSD was created by the Board of Freeholders in the 60s. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to be, you know, there's a lot of speculation this is Better Together too. Certainly the Municipal League doesn't support that. We're the ones that spent the time and the money to make this a reality. What we want is for people and the people's voices to be heard in this process. And I think that's what we're going to do now.
So to that point, and I'm glad you're clearing that up here, because a few days ago, and when I called you and to set up this interview, it was fresh off reading a local news report that the city-county merger idea was back. And it was being led by the Municipal League. And I'm thinking, what, wasn't the Municipal League the group that opposed the city-county merger and the Better Together plan the most? But as you said just now, there's been some sort of misleading headlines. It doesn't sound like you've just picked up the ball where Better Together left off. You're trying to do it, no pun intended, but better than they did. And
we're trying to take the ball away from them.
Yeah, your idea of a merger, would it include what the Better Together plan did as far as the elimination of municipalities around St. Louis County? I mean, you being the mayor of Ferguson, under Better Together's plan, you know, there would not be a mayor of Ferguson, and it would have just all been sort of enveloped in this idea of one giant city. Have you guys come along far enough? Yeah, go ahead.
We've been careful not to forward a plan because we believe that this whole conversation should be organic. Once the group is formed, once the Board of Freeholders is formed, they have complete autonomy to come up with a plan. Now, that means that you know, after all the money and the time that the municipal league spent, this could end up being a terrible plan. And if it is, we'll oppose it. But we hope that between our input, the community's input, citizens and business input, that we can come up with a plan that would be very beneficial for the region. We have no real idea what that plan would look like. This is about the process. We think we should go into the process with an open mind. Now, we also believe that local government is important. We believe that government that governs closest to the people governs best, very conservative kind of idea. And we believe that our municipalities are very important to serving our residents and our citizens. But at the same time, you know, we have to look at, you know, what communities are doing right, what communities are doing wrong, what we can do better. You know, we've seen some talk about some communities that have failed. How can we make them succeed? You know, this is all going to be part of, I think, a very robust conversation. But we are certainly not forwarding a plan at this point to go either way. But we're definitely going to be giving our input along the way. We're definitely going to be talking about the value of our local communities and how those can be partners in improving our region and dealing with some of the regional problems we have, from infrastructure, economic development, to crime. We're going to be involved in that every step of the way. And we want people to be involved in that too. That way we can have a plan that we can all get behind, whatever that may look like, that hopefully makes some improvements in our region, things that we've been ignoring for years.
Mr. Mayor, many will say that the residents of St. Louis City and St. Louis County and the region have spoken very loudly these last couple of years when Better Together was trying to offer a plan to merge the city and county. You had different municipal governments were putting out resolutions. You had people in St. Louis, St. Charles County were putting out resolutions. Many will say it doesn't matter if Better Together is offering a unification plan or if the Municipal League, through the freeholders process, is offering a unification plan. It seems that the public is not on board with this. What would you say to critics that say that?
Well, I already said we're not offering any plan, especially a unification plan. Hmm. And we're not offering anything other than an opportunity to talk
yeah,
about
Chris.
The issues. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying, but you look at it. I mean, we just had this long drawn out thing.
We just had this long drawn out thing with Better Together,
and it's like, you know, let the people kind of chill for a second before you come about.
Well, even if it is the freeholders and it's a more open process, I get that. I just don't think people are for this. But let's remember the timeline here. When people were fighting Better Together, we submitted the Board of Freeholders as an option to essentially take the ball away from Better Together. They wanted to jam it down our throat through the state legislature, either putting it on the ballot, constitutional amendment, or to have signatures to put it on the constitutional amendment on the ballot. Yeah. We said, look, there's a way to do this locally. We were already halfway through the process when Better Together went to flop.
And I get that, yeah. James.
But we think at this point, we've already spent thousands of hours of man time and a lot of money to say, now let's have the conversation that we should have had 5 years ago when Better Together started. And this is about a conversation, Chris. It's not about people have said what they're against, but what have we talked about what people are for yet? And that's what we can be talking about now. What are people for? I think we know what people are against. We don't have to beat that horse to death. But let's talk about what we can agree on, what does need to be fixed, and let's do it. The unfortunate reality is Better Together keeps poisoning the well with this conversation about the Board of Freeholders because they want it to fail and they want to buy their way into a unification plan in the future. Yeah. And they also want the media continues, and not yourselves, of course, but yeah. And we've seen the headlines this week, completely misleading, poisoning the well as to what this process could be. And it's unfortunate because it takes the conversation away from us and people like us who should be leading this. And I hope we can over the next year.
Yeah, and my only thing, James, is whether it's a Board of Freeholders coming, letting the people decide if they want to do some type of unification or whatever name you want to call it, or Better Together. I think the people have already spoken that they do not want this, and I just think it's just kind of redundant in my small opinion.
Well, you got to define for me what unification is, Chris. I mean, I can tell you this, 95% of people I've talked to love their own community, but thinks the community next to them probably should go away.
Yeah. You know
there's
what?
A lot of people that was, there's a lot of people that say, hey, there are communities who are failing. What are we going to do to help them or get rid of them?
So,
or what are we going to do about them? Are we just going to let them linger? I think there's a lot of conversation that has to be had. I mean, this whole idea of Unigov, I don't think we're going to go anywhere near that. I can't imagine. Like you said, if people haven't learned that lesson yet, then they haven't been listening.
I just think there's the ultimate issue of black leaders in the city of St. Louis don't want any type of coming into the county or unification because they see the dilution of their power. And then you'll see some of these mayors and black communities buying Lawndale the Village. They're going to be looking at this as white power structure eliminating their communities because they don't see that they're necessary.
So that's just the issues that I've seen.
I agree with you completely. I think you'd be surprised the number of African-American leaders who are signed on to have this conversation. More so than, you know, it's the younger.
But are they talking about younger leaders? Are they talking about dissolving their municipalities, though?
I think we'll talk about that over
all
next
right.
year.
So we are almost out of time.
I want to be invited back, man.
You will be. Oh, my God. You always will be. We're talking to James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, the president of the Municipal League. And Mr. Mayor, for whatever it's worth, my two cents, you know, there was no stronger opponent to better together than I was. But I even admitted through that entire process there could be some combining of resources. You mentioned MSD earlier. I am not interested in losing my Florissant government, my Florissant mayor, my Florissant police department, and that sort of thing. But I do understand that there is a chance that maybe working together and having some cooperation between these municipalities could be a good thing. I just don't want to lose those individual municipalities because I feel like in those cases, as a voter, I lose a lot of the power that I currently have.
I want to be voting for Tony Colombo mayor 2027.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We've got a very great mayor in Florissant, and I don't want to see anybody but him be mayor until he's done. And then maybe we'll talk.
You move to Ferguson. There's a mayorship opening up in Ferguson soon. I hear.
That's what I hear. There's a lame duck up there. So James. James Knowles, mayor of Ferguson, if people want to get the truth, is there a place, is there a website, is there a social media outlet that you guys put out exactly what the Municipal League is working on so we don't have to rely on these tainted news reports or maybe incomplete news reports that we've seen so far?
Or Chris Arp's analysis.
I like that. No, that was good. I like that.
Don't follow Chris Arp on social media. That's my... I do. I love the man.
Absolutely.
No, but, you know, I will tell you the interesting thing that's going to be coming out here, as soon as this Board of Freeholders is appointed, they will be autonomous and they will have their own PR. They'll have, in the past, that's always what's happened. The city and the county, both, by the way, have to split those costs evenly. And they have essentially an unlimited budget to do this.
Gotcha.
So there's going to be a lot of information that comes out about them. The Municipal League will always do our best to give you the unvarnished, fair, and, you know, balanced view on these things. You can find us online, social media, and it's, now we're called the Municipal League of Metropolitan St. Louis, but it's still stlmuni.org. Come find us. You'll find information there regularly updated. And look forward to this process. Look forward to this conversation, especially with the three of us.
Yeah, for sure, James. We'll have you back again real soon. That's James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, the president of the Municipal League, and we always appreciate your time, Mr. Mayor. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
You bet. All right, we got to take a break. When we get back, we are going to talk to our friend Karen Fessler, our Iowa political insider. There's new polls to talk about. The Iowa caucus keeps getting closer and closer, and we'll talk with her about that coming up in just a few minutes. Also, Corey Lewandowski at the top of the next hour. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. And welcome back to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk. Big thanks again to James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, who joined us in that last segment. Got a little heated there between
it
you
did,
and the mayor.
It did, you know.
Yeah, that was good. Good stuff. Good information from the mayor. We appreciate him coming on. If you missed the interview or you want to hear it again because you like to hear him and Chris fight, don't forget you can always download our podcast for free. The radio.com app is the best way to do so. Download that app to your phone or your tablet, and then favorite the radio station, and you have access to everything. You can stream the station 24/7. You can download all the podcasts from all the different shows here. Again, absolutely all of it is free. And as I mentioned in that last segment, joining us now on the phone once again is Karen Fessler. She is an Iowa political insider and the eyes of the political world are more and more focused on the state of Iowa mm-hmm. as we close in on the Iowa caucus, sort of the official beginning, if we haven't already officially began the presidential election season. Karen, great to talk with you again. How's it going?
Hi, Tony. Greetings from Iowa. We're doing well. I hope Karen you all are too.
Karen could probably give us the hours, days, months, and minutes to the caucus, right?
I'll give you that much.
So last time we talked, it was, I think the last couple, two, three times we talked, it was all about Senator Elizabeth Warren and her surge in the polls there in Iowa. What is the latest happening in your state? Is it still Elizabeth Warren on top of the heap, or have things started to change?
Joe Biden is at the top of whatever polling you're saying, but I think the excitement is for Senator Warren. She had an event earlier this week and drew 2,000 people down to a riverfront amphitheater on the University of Iowa campus. And they said that's her largest crowd she'd ever drawn in Iowa. So that's kind of a big deal. Interesting that at the same time she was doing that, Senator Harris was also in Johnson County, which is where I am, and drew a pretty nice crowd, too, at one of our local breweries here. So, you know, we had them both here, and I think Senator Warren is the person to beat here. There's no question.
So there was a national poll came out this week, a Fox News poll that showed Vice President Biden leading, as he has in just about every national poll that's been put out this entire election season. But it was his lowest lead that any poll has shown so far. So it seems like he is slipping, and it's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren are the two that are that seem to be benefiting from his slipping. Are you seeing that there in Iowa as well? As Joe maybe loses some support, is it going to primarily Elizabeth Warren and or Bernie Sanders?
Well, I think some of it's going to Senator Warren. I think there's some of it that's being spread out among some of those lower-level candidates. Mayor Pete is making a push here, and I think he's picking up some of those Biden votes that are falling off from there. So, you know, I don't think that Senator Warren and Senator Sanders are the only ones who are going to pick up from Senator Biden's drop. But, you know, interestingly enough, Senator Harris said last night that she plans to, quote unquote, move to Iowa. So, you know, she's obviously decided that she needs to make a play here. We always say there's three tickets out of Iowa. She may be trying to get that third ticket because I think Senator Biden will do well here. Senator Warren will do well here. It's going to be a battle for who that third spot's going to be.
You know, one of the things that about Kamala Harris is her likability. When you see her on the debates or when you see her being challenged by her opponent, she just doesn't have a likability factor about her. I remember last time we talked to you, she had gotten some key endorsement from some county leaders, and it looked like she may have be making a surge, but the polls are showing that that didn't happen. What is it about Kamala, do you think, or what are your Democratic friends telling you? Why isn't she resonating with Iowa Democratic voters?
Well, part of the reason is she really hasn't been here very much. And she's, you know, she says she's coming more often, and that'll make a difference. From what I've been told, from my Democratic friends tell me, when you meet with her one-on-one, she's, you know, quite engaging, quite charming, and that make, you know, it's that type of a thing. And, you know, Senator Warren also is the same way. Both of them very much can relate to people one-on-one, and I think that's an important thing to do, particularly in a state like Iowa, where retail politics is the whole game.
Now, Karen, I know this was a real shocker. The Democratic field shrunk by one on Friday. How shocked were you that the mayor of New York decided to call it quits?
Well, I guess New York's loss is Iowa's gain. I'm just going to kind of look at it like that. So.
Karen, we're talking to Karen Fessler. She is an Iowa political insider. She has been nice enough to continually update us on what is happening in Iowa as we close in on the Iowa caucus. Obviously, all the focus has been on these Democrats because there's so many of them. They are, you know, scrambling to win that Democratic nomination to go against the president. But what about the president? What about the Republican side? Is the president at all been represented in Iowa? Are you feeling his presence in the state at all yet?
Yes, we have. He has a campaign in place here. He has a state director. He has people on board. His largest staff of any state is here in Iowa. And we just met our Trump victory person for Johnson County. She's been here on the ground since September 1st and been very busy. So, you know, the president has people here working in his behalf.
There has been talk among many states that they weren't going to do away with their caucuses or their primaries. Is Iowa one of those states? Are you still going to have a caucus even though the president has overwhelming support?
We're having a caucus. There's no question. you know, there's Iowa is very, very protective of its first in the nation status, and we will have a caucus.
Well, I mean, the Democrats have one, but Republicans may skip it over. That's not an option.
No, that's not going to be an option. You have to remember, too, the caucus is more than just the straw poll for the presidential candidates. That's where
we start
our organization. We elect our central committee members and start our delegate selection process at the caucus.
So, Karen Fessler, Iowa Political Insider, before we let you go, what is the best? We'll have you back on a bunch as we get closer and closer, so we encourage people to continue to listen to the Weekend Report because Karen will come on here and give us the updates and what's happening there on the front lines in Iowa. But in the meantime, between your visits here to the radio show, what are the best ways to keep an eye on what is happening there in Iowa, watch the polls, get the pulse of the people on the street? Is there a good social media site, website, anything like that that people can go to?
It's a good website to go to. They have a great article in there that they wrote about Senator Warren's visit here earlier in the week. And the Des Moines Register also has, they are on Facebook and Twitter, and they have some, you know, great paper, great reporting. And that's where when the Iowa poll comes out, it'll come out through the Des Moines Register. So those are good places to go to kind of keep an eye on what's going on up here.
Great stuff. Karen Fessler, we always appreciate your time and your insight, and we look forward to talking with you again real soon.
Thanks, Karen.
Thanks so much. Have a great day, everyone.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And we are going to take a break and wrap up the first hour of the Weekend Report, but we start hour number two with Corey Lewandowski, the former Trump campaign manager. You don't want to miss it. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Weekend Report on 97.1 FM Talk.
It's time for your favorite show. The Weekend Report is on the radio.
And welcome back to the Weekend Report, hour number two of the Weekend Report. We certainly appreciate you being a part of the show. Tony Colombo, Chris Arps, and Carl Middleman in the studio. If you missed any of that busy first hour, we talked to Karen Fessler, the political insider in the state of Iowa, about the polls there as we get closer and closer to the Iowa caucus. Also, James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, was on with us in that first hour. If you missed any of that or would like to hear it again, don't forget you can always download our podcast absolutely free. You can do it on our website or, even better, the radio.com app. Once you download that app, you favorite the radio station and you have access to everything, 24/7 stream of the station and access to all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, including, of course, the Weekend Report. And now, as we mentioned at the end of that last hour, joining us back on the phone again, we welcome back to the show a man who was the star of the show as far as the news cycle was concerned this week. Corey Lewandowski is back with us. Corey, it's great to talk with you. How you doing?
Well, thanks, Tony and Chris. Thanks. I appreciate you guys having me back on, and it's a real pleasure to be on with you again.
Yeah, you bet. You made a lot of news this week with the, I don't even know what to call it. I think it was officially called an impeachment probe in Capitol Hill with the House Judiciary Committee. Is that the right title of what you went through this week?
That's what they say, but the truth, and you know this and your listeners know this, was that was a witch hunt. That was a continuation of the attack on Donald Trump and the people around him, because they have not come to the realization that the 2016 election, what the Mueller report said and what I knew from day one, there was no collusion and there was no obstruction. And they cannot get past the fact that these liberal Democrats who are on that committee have primary challenges, and they have to be as far left as possible so they don't suffer the same fate as Congressman Capuano of Massachusetts or Congressman Crowley of New York, who lost in their primaries from far, far left progressives. That's why Jerry Nadler had that circus over this week, and that's why I was called there to try and embarrass me and embarrass the president, and I wasn't going to allow it.
Corey, I've watched those hearings this week, and I have to tell you, I was thoroughly impressed with your performance. You know, many of your critics, even Democrats in the media, were saying that that was a masterful performance on how you are supposed to appear before a witch hunt hearing like that. Were there any questions that they asked you during that hearing that you hadn't heard before? And how much did you really have to prepare?
Well, to be fair, I prepared an enormous amount, because when you're subpoenaed by Congress, you want to go there and be prepared. And so I spent a lot of time preparing and refamiliarizing myself with as much as I could, because you have to remember, some of the events that they're asking about took place more than 4 years ago. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to make sure my recollection was clear. And you know, the question that they answered, the questions that were asked of me, have already been asked and answered on multiple occasions, whether it was during my time with the special counsel's office on two separate occasions, whether it was the House Intelligence Committee on two separate occasions, or the Senate Intelligence Committee. And they had access to all of those transcripts, as well as the FBI 302s, which are the FBI's notes, of which I've never seen. So they didn't need to bring me there if they wanted to hear the same answers to the same questions, because the reason I answered all the questions the same throughout all of my testimony is because it's the truth, and they don't actually want to find the truth. They want to attack this president, they want to shore up their far left progressive base, and they want to embarrass and impugn people like me who support this president, and I wasn't going to allow it.
Corey, the Democrats are threatening to indict you, or not indict you, but to hold you in contempt because they felt that you didn't answer all of the questions. You know, you and I know that's an old thing, that trick that a lot of people try to do that in government, is they try to have you lawyer up and have you spending a lot of money on, you know, defending yourself from frivolous charges. How worried are you about being held in contempt of court by the House Democratic Committee?
Well, there's two types of contempt. One is a criminal contempt, which is what they've held Attorney General Barr in, Secretary Ross in, and that gets referred to the Department of Justice, of which Attorney General Barr chose not to pursue those charges. Mm-hmm. It's the same type of contempt that Eric Holder was in. The other type of contempt is called inherent contempt, and it hasn't been used since 1935, where they actually bring a person before the relevant House, either the House or the Senate, in handcuffs, and they make you answer questions in front of the House of Representatives. And if they don't like your questions, they put you in jail. Okay, that's what they're talking about doing to a private citizen who answered their subpoena, who sat there and answered every question that I was legally allowed to. They have to remember, I'm not the chief executive of the United States. The privilege of executive privilege is his and not mine. And the White House asked me to preserve that privilege so that if they wanted to exert it, they could. It's not my privilege to waive. And so at the direction of the White House and numerous jurisprudence that has been established by both Republicans and Democrats. That's all I've done. So if they're going to hold me in contempt, it may be the best opportunity to launch a U.S. Senate campaign in the Hampshire.
I was going to wait till the end of this interview to bring that up. Before I ask my next question now, I'm going to ask you about that. Are you prepared to make that announcement? Is it official that you are going to run for the United States Senate?
Well, I wanted to get through the committee hearing of last week on Tuesday. I spent a lot of time preparing for that. And the end of the third quarter fundraising is just a few days away at the end of this month. And I want to see what the other Republicans in this race have raised to compete with Gene Shaheen. And if I don't think it's commensurate, I'm going to get into that race. I'm going to win the Republican nomination. I'm going to beat Gene Shaheen because I'm going to have a fighter in Washington, D.C. for the people of New Hampshire. And if people want to support me as an exploratory opportunity and get more information, it's just standwithcorey, C-O-R-E-Y.com, standwithcorey.com, and you can sign up, and I'm sure they'll keep you engaged. So, look, if I do this, I'm going to get in this race to win, because if you've seen, your listeners have seen, I'm not going to back down from fights that I believe to be true and fair and honest, and I think the American people are tired of the Washington, D.C. doublespeak.
Well, when you're ready to make that announcement, Corey, we're here for you. When you're ready to, we'll give you the platform, the microphone. I'm sure you
will.
Well,
thank you. I wish you guys were in New Hampshire. It's even better to get here all the time. I appreciate that.
You bet. So here was the question that I had for you before we brought that up. You mentioned that that process of holding you in contempt of court, and it just reminds me so much of all of the desperate actions that we have seen these Democrats in Congress, in the Senate, in government, the way that they have behaved since Donald Trump took office. Here's my fear, and maybe you winning a Senate seat in New Hampshire would help quell this fear, but my fear is that all this is going to work. If they can prove that 4 years of doing nothing but obstruction, no progress of any kind, not helping people, not putting forward bills that help the American people, not solving any problems, but simply attacking the president, attacking Republicans, making up stories and obstructing, if that somehow wins them more seats in the House or more seats in the Senate or the freaking White House, then I'm afraid that that's going to be the way that we govern this country from now on, and that scares the crap out of me. What do you think the chances are of this working, this tactic by the Democrats working and getting them more votes in 2020?
No, this is going to backfire. There's no question about it. I travel the country a lot, and when you are the incumbent party in the majority, like the Democrats are right now, you have to explain why you're staying there, what you have done to solve problems for the American people. They haven't solved this opiate crisis. They haven't solved the crisis at the border. They haven't solved the crisis of health care. They've done nothing. And the American people are smart. Even though the mainstream media is by and large an extension of the Democratic Party, they still have to produce results. And they have no results to stand on. There's no rationale of why you would keep Democrats in the majority. And I believe they're going to overplay their hand because they have to stay with their base. And when Nancy Pelosi from the liberal city of San Francisco is considered a moderate amongst the Democratic Party, that should be very scary to people. And they now see that in those swing districts that Democrats won in 2018, that Donald Trump carried in 2016, those members of the Democratic caucus are begging the liberals and the far left progressives not to pursue this impeachment and to go and actually get things done. They don't have one thing that they can point to as a majority that they've accomplished on behalf of the American people. And I believe Nancy Pelosi will become the first Speaker of the House to lose the majority on two separate occasions.
Corey, let's go back to your Senate run for just a minute. What type of senator do you envision yourself to be once you're elected? Usually people from northeast part of the country, the Republicans, they're construed as rhinos or kind of lukewarm Republicans. How would you describe yourself?
Very simply, I'm a small government, less taxes, less regulation, individual. I believe in individual freedoms. I believe in states' rights. You know, just because I would be representing a Northeast state doesn't mean I don't take the values of the people of New Hampshire to Washington, D.C., because I'm not going to bring the values of Washington, D.C. to New Hampshire. You know, when you look at the incumbent U.S. senator who's up in this cycle, Jean Shaheen, she voted against Neil Gorsuch. She voted against Justice Kavanaugh. She voted to continue to fund sanctuary cities. All of this has occurred while her entire time in elective office, from governor to U.S. senator, from state senator, has gotten her very, very wealthy. And I don't believe our forefathers thought that being elected was a career. I don't believe that they thought you'd go into public office and stay there for as long as you wanted and your family has gotten rich because of it. I think that's where she has mistaken and has not produced one major piece of legislation in the 12 years she's been in the U.S. Senate that she can point to as saying, I've done good either for the people of New Hampshire or the American public. And if I go there, look, I'm going to be a guy who's going to go and kick the door down, fight for what's right, to make sure that we're reining in our national debt, to make sure that we're funding our military, to make sure that there's a clear distinction between Jean Shaheen's priorities, which is funding illegal immigration, and my priorities, which is putting America first. That's the difference in the ballot come November of 2020.
Good
great
stuff.
Yeah, Corey Lewandowski, former Trump campaign manager. Just a couple minutes left. Corey, you know the president on a very personal level. I don't know how often you get a chance to talk to him these days, but kind of going back to the idea of the way that the Democrats and the media have treated him over his time as president, has the obstruction and the fake news and all of that, how has that affected the president on a personal level? Is it wearing him out or is it lighting a fire?
No, this president looks at me, wakes up every day and says, what else can I do to stand up for America? What else can I do to put America first? He's put this witch hunt behind him because he and I were there from the beginning, knowing that there was no collusion and there was no obstruction. I have never seen a person waking up every single day who wants to go out and fight back to do what's right for the American people like this president has done. He needs more friends and allies in Washington, D.C., and part of the reason I'm contemplating running for the U.S. Senate is so that I can be one of the president's allies, so I can stand there and make sure that when his agenda is coming to Capitol Hill, we're moving it forward. Because too often, we have now seen rhino Republicans who accept the president's endorsement in their primaries only to now say, hey, we're not sure we're going to endorse the president in his election in 2020. You know, I'm tired of those people. I want people who are going to stand fast, hold the line when times get tough, and not just be politically expedient. That's what we're seeing. People are tired of it.
Yeah. Corey, last question before we let you go. After the impeachment probe that you went through on Capitol Hill, we mentioned earlier in the interview about the possibility of you facing some type of contempt charges. Do you expect to be back on Capitol Hill, and do you expect this impeachment probe to continue? Are we going to see more Republicans sitting in that hot seat in front of Jerry Nadler and that committee sometime soon, or are they ever going to move on? What's the next step?
You know, I don't know the answer, because clearly they can call anybody they want, they can subpoena anybody they want, but hopefully, after the way I had the opportunity to speak with them on Tuesday of this week about that hearing, they're going to rethink their desire to try and make a political spectacle out of witnesses who come before them. Hopefully they understand that the American people are saying this is over. It's $40+ million, 2.5 years. The Mueller investigation said what we already knew, no collusion, no obstruction. So look, if I'm the Democratic Party and I'm not one of those far left progressives who's trying to fend off a challenge, I'm a moderate in a competitive congressional district, I'm saying to my leadership, please stop this charade and go and solve the real problems of our country, because if we continue down this path, we will be in the minority. That's what I would be saying.
So, Chris, I'm going to end this interview by saying the former Trump campaign manager and the next senator from the great state of New Hampshire. You think that's a good way to do this?
Senator Lewandowski, that's got a good ring to it. I love it.
Well, then I'll do it.
You know what, fellas? I appreciate it. StandWithCorey.com, and you'll get more information. I appreciate your time.
You bet. StandWithCorey.com. We will check it out, and we look forward to another chance to talk with you again soon. Corey Lewandowski, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, we got to take a break. Yeah, we got more Weekend Report coming your way. We'll talk about some of the things he talked about and do a little more Weekend Review when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to The Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk. Once again, a big thank you to Corey Lewandowski for joining us again on the show. If you missed that discussion that we just had with him, make sure you go back and check out the podcast on the radio.com app. It's all free. The app is free. You favorite the radio station, it's free. And then you can download all the podcasts from all the shows here on the station, absolutely free.
Did he announce?
Yeah, that's what I was just about to ask.
He said he's running.
Did he announce?
Yeah, did he announce? Okay. Did he announce it right here?
I was asking.
I think I heard what I heard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah? I mean, that was interesting.
The website's kind of
setup.
A giveaway, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, he has the Stand With Corey website, and he said that he's waiting to the end of the month is when... Yeah.
End of
fundraising
quarter.
Yeah. Numbers need to be put out, and he said if the other Republican candidates don't look like they have a decent amount of money to run a good campaign, then he's going to jump in and take it.
So he's running.
So he's running.
Can you imagine the president of the United States stumping for you and raising money for you?
Yeah, he brought that one up himself. I was going to wait till the end of the interview to hit him with that one and see if we could get him to make some news here on the show, but he actually... kind of did it himself.
Thanks.
Talked about, yeah, right? We'll take it.
And that's his number. We don't deal with anybody else. We deal with him directly.
Yeah, I know.
I'm that's glad to stuff. Have that number.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, that's good stuff. We will have Corey back on the show again very soon. It's always great to talk with him. Very interesting stuff. And there was no bigger newsmaker this week than Corey Lewandowski and that show that was put on by House Democrats on Capitol Hill this week. So again, if you missed any of that discussion, just go back and download the podcast and check it out. Great, great stuff. Wanted to get your thoughts on a local story here, Chris. Are you familiar with the Cure Violence program? Do you know what this is?
I have heard some about it, yes. So I have some thoughts on it.
Okay, so there's this, for people that don't know, there's a program called Cure Violence, which is an organization that has been utilized in a couple of cities around the country. I don't think there's a very large sample size for this group yet. But they claim that if you enact their program in a city, they can reduce crime and murders by 30% in the first year. And then... you know, even more and more as the time goes on. Go ahead.
Charlie Brennan had one of these guys on his show when he did that forum.
We should probably get somebody.
Look into that.
Look into that.
Charlie had the guy on, the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah.
And he said that it would work here in St.
So
Louis.
So the city of St. Louis has already allocated $2 million to pay for 1 year of the Cure Violence program. Aldermanic President Louis Reed wants the city to right now allocate $8 million, which would fund the program for 3 years, which I don't know how those numbers were. I don't know how 1 year is $2 million and 3 years is $8 million.
Well, it's a target. I listened to it,
okay.
So I can tell you a little bit about it.
Okay. Go ahead, please.
They target neighborhood by neighborhood because the people in the neighborhood know who the people are that are causing all the trouble. And you target them specifically, and you find them employment, and you get them off of the life of... crime.
Right.
And so you steer them and all the younger people to a productive society. But you have to like provide them jobs and provide them insurance and all these things so they don't turn to the life of crime, which makes the investment that they would spend on them getting a real life compared to what it would take to house them
so
in prison.
So we're paying these people essentially?
Basically.
Okay. So there you go. That's good information. Mm-hmm. Cure Violence already allocated, the city's already in for $2 million for the Cure Violence program.
It evens out in the end.
Louis Reed wants $8
million. The thing that really brought up a lot of red flags to me is this program, which is relatively new. They make a lot of bold claims on what they can do. But to go from a program we've never had, we're willing to spend $2 million on it. The comptroller said that she didn't want to spend that much. It was way more than she was comfortable spending.
Darlene Green, the comptroller, and then she has relented on the $2 million, but will not talk about $8 million.
But it's just all of a sudden a program that has no track record, and here is the the Board of Aldermen president wants to say, let's go 8 million. That just raises so many red flags to me to make you think, what is his connection to this? Why is he so gung-ho about this to throw $8 million on a program that has no type of track record whatsoever? I'm very dubious of the claims. We need to do something. Murder is out of control. Crime is out of control. But to throw $8 million on this project like that is just
crazy. But I'm kind of okay. Look, if you want to come here and you want to make these bold claims and you say you only need a year and $2 million will get a year, if we've
that money's
going to
be stolen and corrupted. Well, that's the thing about it that I'm worried about.
Well, here's the thing. There's the money is already corrupt and
they're going to really $8 million, man.
Well,
I would.
I'm
just saying if they ever got that money, I'd be afraid to see how money
But
that
I'm
money's
very interested. I'm very interested in seeing, okay, we're going to do this $2 million. You say that pays for a year, and you say, Cure Violence, that 30%, that you can, that 1 year, you can lower crime and murders by 30%. So let's see it. A year from now, if we don't see those type of results, then I want everybody who was involved to be held accountable.
Yeah, and I'm just dubious about, okay, we're going to take these young men off the
street. Let's hold them accountable.
Yeah, we're going to take these men off the street who are selling drugs and making $500 or $1,000 a day, and we're going to get you a job flipping hamburgers, and this is better life for you. I just don't see how that's really going to motivate these young men to get off the streets.
The governor also announced his crime reduction plan this week, and basically it is to bring in a bunch of different law enforcement agencies to support the St. Louis Police Department. The alcohol, tobacco, firearms people are being brought in. The U.S. Marshals Task Force is being brought in. A certain number of state troopers are being brought in, and they are all essentially now working in conjunction with the St. Louis Police Department to reduce crime in the area. Do you like that plan better than the Cure
I don't see how the
idea?
Plan is going to work because okay. The fundamental problem is that you have an adversarial relationship between the circuit attorney and the police. And because the circuit attorney has that adversarial relationship with the police where she's bragging about how low her conviction rate is and how she doesn't put people in jail and she doesn't believe in bail, that she has sent out a message to the criminals that it's free reign and you can do whatever you want and she's on your side. So I think bringing all these different police officers and all that, which they're not going to be in crime, they're going to be patrolling the highways and doing that function while the city police do the policing. It's
so
the same
governor
program
says,
that Greitens
so
had.
The governor actually laid out where he's going to use these different agencies. Mm-hmm. The ATF is going to focus on getting illegal guns out of the hands of criminals. The U.S. Marshals Task Force is being used to go after the most dangerous and violent criminals, and the state troopers are going to be obviously patrolling the highways, mm-hmm. but the governor says that minor traffic violations is not what they are there to do. They, much like the U.S. Marshals Task Force, is there to help apprehend the most dangerous and violent criminals. Now, so my question is, if a city police officer, we know mm-hmm. from what we've seen, makes an arrest or tries to do something in one of these cases, they run into big trouble with Kim Gardner and they're unable to get any progress done. If a U.S. Marshal is involved, or the state trooper, or the ATF is involved, and Kim Gardner tries to block their investigation or tries to block prosecution from one of those law enforcement agencies, isn't that going to create a problem for her that she has yet to face?
She doesn't care. She's already not following the law. She's already defying Supreme Court orders.
I think the spotlight is going to be even brighter if this happens. All of these cases
that these people bring, she has to bring the charges. Yeah. So if she's still refusing to bring charges for their cases, it doesn't make any difference.
But
Kim Gardner and her supporters could care less about what you, I, or what the public thinks about this.
I agree with that. But her saying that the city police is corrupt and she won't bring charges— But then to have that fight with the U.S. Marshals and the state
troopers,
alcohol, tobacco, firearms.
But with her crowd, she's going to make the same argument.
No,
the
I
city
know.
Of police is corrupt. The ATF is corrupt.
But
these
hope,
people are corrupt. She's going to make
just
the same
hoping,
argument.
I'm just hoping that that puts a even brighter spotlight on her performance.
You can't have any more brighter spotlight than you have on her now when she refuses to prosecute a person who killed a 7-year-old and refuses to and won't indict them. You can't have a brighter spotlight
than that. All right, we got to take a break. We are going to lighten the mood and have a little bit of fun. Skip Weber is finally back.
He's
in
back.
The studio.
Yay.
Trish Gazelle from 102.5
Tan and rested.
As well. And the special edition of the Weird News Challenge. For the first time after 50 episodes, I'm not hosting. I'm playing the Weird News Challenge. Trish Gazelle will be hosting, and that is coming next. Don't go anywhere. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. The Weird News Challenge is next on the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk.
If you lose me, you lose everything.
Welcome back to the Weekend Report, 97.1 FM Talk, and the studio has filled up. We have had a great show today. Lots to go back and check out on the podcast on the radio.com app. Ferguson Mayor James Knowles joined us. Karen Fessler from Iowa, political insider up there talking about the Iowa caucuses. Corey Lewandowski, of course, joined us earlier this hour. So if you missed any of that, go back and check it out on the podcast. And now, as I mentioned at the end of that last segment, Skip Weber is here.
Back. Good evening, everyone.
He has returned.
I'm back.
And Trish Gazelle from 102.5 is here as well. And it's time for the Weird News Challenge. And as I mentioned, for the first time ever, after 50 episodes, episode 51 of the Weird News Challenge, for the first time, I am not hosting. I am playing.
This is your first time playing.
First time playing.
I cannot tell you how excited I am about this.
I am so honored to be.
I'm excited because I always feel bad competing against Trish because if you beat her, then she gets so upset.
She does take it personal.
So it's so fun to be playing without.
Except that string of run I was on winning, and then you were texting me like on the weekend going, I'm going to kick your butt next time. He was just stalking me.
So
it was welcome.
So I will. You don't have to take any of my advice, but I would advise you to use Carl as the judges.
Yes, for sure.
Be able to go to him for if you have a wondering.
Hopefully, you
about
don't have dubious questions like our other hosts.
Tony, listen. I have been working on this. I took this seriously, and I had Carl come in before you guys started. I went over all the questions with him. Just to make sure, because I will tell you that there's four questions and one potential tiebreaker. Most of them do have to do with food and or entertainment.
Of course.
But I did throw a somewhat semi-sports in there, but I did it with a Trish flair. So, you know.
All right. Well, let's go. Take it away. Weird News Challenge, episode 51. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We have to test the buzzers. Chris Arbs. Skip.
Ding, 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 ding.
And Tony.
Oh. Yeah. Hey. I'm coming in aggressive.
Loud and aggressive. Question number one, what episode of the Weird News Channel
is episode number 51 of the Weird News Channel.
Right. I want to do it right.
First one ever hosted by Trish Gazelle from 102.5.
Ever hosted by anyone.
51.
Yes, that's a fact.
Okay, episode 51.
Is the Katie Fitzpatrick rule in effect?
No.
Okay, very good. That means we can buzz in anytime we want. Okay.
You do not have to wait until the question's completed. This is episode 51 with the first guest host. I am so glad he chose me and a woman, to fill in his big shoes.
I can't think of anyone that could do a better job.
Four
than
questions.
You.
One does have a lot
Get
of answers.
Get on with it.
All right,
here
Shut
we go.
Up. Why don't you guys have been interrupting me since I started? All right, question number one. This Rock and Roll Hall of Famer joined Carrie Underwood to open this season's NBC Sunday Night Football.
Hank Williams Jr.?
No.
Why don't I know that?
On Monday Night Football.
The song they sing is Waiting All Day for Sunday Night. It's been in use by Sunday Night Football since 2006.
Ding, 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 ding. Yes. I have a guess. I don't think he's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though, so I'm not gonna, but I'm going to guess it. Kid Rock.
No.
He's not in the Rock.
I know he's not, but
and it also might not be a man.
I don't remember. Bon Jovi?
Try Joan Jett.
Bon Jovi?
No. Try Joan Jett. He buzzed in with...
Yeah. Oh, you buzzed?
Yeah.
Is it Joan
Pay
Jett?
Attention, will you? Bon Jovi?
Joan Jett.
Oh, I knew it! I knew it!
He said Bon Jovi, so no one gets
no one
that
gets
point.
Point. God! Yeah. God,
really?
I'm so mad because at myself. I knew it!
Okay, second part. I'll give you a point if you know this. Do you know to which song the melody is...
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah.
I Love Rock and Roll.
Yes.
No.
No.
Oh!
Anyone else? Want to buzz in?
Yeah, I'm going to because why not, right? Dude,
okay.
It doesn't hurt you.
Oh, God. That's
yeah, right? Low. I know. Waiting all day for Sunday night.
You're giving it to
me. Judge, that's not too much time. Too much time. Too much time. Too much time.
I don't know. I can't think of it. All I can hear is,
I know it.
All I can hear is a freaking God, Sunday night.
I know
Are you even
it.
Men? Do you watch Sunday
I know
night?
It.
I knew
no,
the freaking...
I don't watch the NFL. The Rams left and screwed us. I've boycotted the NFL for 3 years.
God, I knew
so
it was,
thank you.
I knew it was Joan Jett. I was just too stupid.
I got
stupid
the
to...
answer.
So
I know I'll get no
big
points.
Song, her other song.
I got it.
Okay.
I hate myself for loving you. Right.
Doggone it.
Zero oh, my God, you guys.
Thank you.
No I thought that would have been
the
easy.
The NFL is not even a sport
well,
to me anymore.
Listen,
I hate to say
in my defense, Hank Williams Jr. came back to Monday Night
Monday
Football
night.
This year.
I
and
thought
that's
this
what
is
I had
Sunday
my
night. They've been using this song
in my defense,
since
I hate the NFL.
2006, Pink was the first one to do it. Then
Faith Hill. Yeah.
Then Carrie Underwood since 2013.
Back then, I was watching
it was
NFL, so I knew that. I could have gotten those.
Let's see if you can... do better on this next one.
I proved that I knew it, and I tried to. I kept telling you,
yeah,
say Joan Jett.
I don't trust you. You thought you were setting me up.
I would never do that to you.
And
my
I love how
partner.
When I said this Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, you all thought it was a man.
No, I said it didn't
After
have to be a man.
After you answered incorrectly.
But only because I thought
but
it was
But usually
Hank
the
Williams.
Duet, it is a man and a woman. Rock. It wasn't okay. Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. It was a duet type thing. You know, the.
Well, she's usually in the
No, this Rock and Roll Hall
know,
of Famer
but
joins
usually right,
come
they
on.
Do that stuff as
Question
a man and
two.
Woman.
Joan
Question number
Hall
two.
Of Fame?
Yep. Question number two.
Oh,
not, to be, not to be outdone by Popeye's and Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich.
Wendy's.
No.
Yes, it is!
Yeah.
That's my buzzer. KFC, wasn't it?
Well, that's not the entire question.
Oh. You already said it.
Yeah, he's out.
Could I please have the entire question?
Yes.
I think I know it, but could I please have the
not
entire question?
Not to be outdone by Popeye's and Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich game, KFC just started testing a new sandwich with what distinctive twist?
You don't know.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, what's their
macaroni
chicken sandwich?
And cheese.
Oh, my God.
I don't know.
Are these really that hard?
What is
yes.
it?
They're using a donut as the bun.
Oh, really? Like the Gateway Grizzlies.
Yeah, so they're testing it in Norfolk, Richmond,
you
and
know,
Pittsburgh.
Wendy's did come out with macaroni and cheese.
Well, and Wendy's,
I didn't know this week
did,
was going to be brain teasers.
Wendy's was in the whole Twitter argument
God.
With them.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's why I thought.
Airbnb is offering people a chance to enter this drawing to stay in this iconic TV and now...
Tony. Brady Bunch.
No.
No way.
I withdraw my buzzer.
Because you thought it was Brady Bunch.
I did too.
Can you finish the question, please?
Sure.
It is Brady Bunch.
Airbnb is offering people a chance to enter a drawing to stay in this iconic TV and now movie set. It will cost you $186 if you win. You'll be treated like royalty with butlers and
ding,
everything.
Ding, 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 ding.
Wait a minute. You already answered, didn't you?
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't.
Downton Abbey.
Yes.
Correct.
That's a point on the board.
Correct. Skip has
You thought
won.
It was Brady Bunch.
I did. Because of the HGTV.
So it's the High Clare Castle, and $186 is all it will cost you, and they'll treat you. You'll have
butlers.
But you
have butlers. To win it. It's only, you can't just go buy it for one of these.
Well,
does
this game always suck this bad?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So only one person. No.
You guys, these are stories that have been in the news all
I'm
this
kidding.
Week.
I'm
if you
kidding.
Even blame this on the host, I
no.
will not be happy.
No, I blame it on me.
I'm blaming it on the judge.
I'm mad at myself about the Joan Jett situation.
All right, question number four.
Mm-hmm.
They surveyed 100,000 people.
Is this multiple points?
Yes.
Okay. How many?
Eight.
Okay, thank you.
So you can still win.
Yeah, anybody can win.
Anybody
Does
can
only
win.
Skip have a point?
Only yeah. Skip has
okay.
a point.
Does he have one or two?
One.
Sorry. Over 100,000 people took an online survey of what type of cereal leaves behind the best milk.
Ooh, who's talking about that?
Tony. Yeah.
Tony. There's eight of them.
Cocoa Puffs is number one.
Correct.
Because they got the best chocolate milk.
Correct. These are all pretty standard, too. They're not like
hey,
any
right. no
ones. I'm just right. saying.
Reese's Puffs.
Yes. That was number five.
Yeah. Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yep, that was number two. Which cereal leaves behind the best milk? So we have three out of eight so far.
Yeah. Lucky Charms?
Yeah, that was number eight.
Yes.
One more to clear up.
One more and it's over?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So you have four more.
Yeah.
Cocoa Puffs, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Reese's Puffs, Lucky Charms.
Apple Jacks.
Yes.
Yes!
That was tied for number five with Reese's Puffs.
Now, here's the deal. I heard Tony and Annie Fry discussing this.
Doesn't matter.
In the news. I know.
Doesn't
I'm
matter.
Just saying that's
it
a little
around.
Bit of a handicap deal.
Well,
I'm
saying
he talked about it on the air.
Yeah,
that's how I was like, I'm not saying you should. Before.
I'm not saying you should.
You may have talked about it with your people at the dealership.
I know. I heard him do it, but I only heard the very beginning.
Good point.
I only heard the very beginning. I got out of the car.
You know what else?
Three more.
I thought that I was going to forget, actually, what they were. I keep wanting to say Frosted Flakes, but I... Is it? Okay.
Well, you already won.
Yeah. But I know, but I
mean, you should get that one. Tony the Tiger. Come on.
Yeah. For some reason, I didn't think it was on.
Two more.
I'm done.
Anyone want to guess? Yeah.
Fruity Pebbles.
Yes, Chris Arp.
Oh, yeah, I guess
that was number four.
Oh, if you get one more, you beat Skip.
Fruit Loops.
That's good to know.
Yep, that was number six.
There you go. All right, what was
one more.
Cookie Crisp?
No.
How can Cookie Crisp not be on there?
Because it's not. You want to guess the next one? The last one?
I don't know.
Captain Crunch?
Captain Crunch.
Oh. Well, I ran. You know why I did so good on this? Because
Tony
I grew up on
that one away.
Yes.
All right, you want the tiebreaker?
So I won, huh?
Funds?
3-1.
I won.
Skip, I haven't beaten you in years.
Yeah, let's hear what the tiebreaker was.
The average.
Yes, that's not true.
They did a poll. The average American overspends by how much a week?
Overspend
percentage or money?
Like a dollar amount?
Money-wise. And the number one way they overspend is buying stuff online. Groceries was number two.
They overspend
so a week. How much?
$100 a week.
Skip, want
to
guess?
I will say. Well, I get to go last because I get.
That's okay, true. Chris.
I'm going to say $101.
Ooh. 102.
I'm going to say 102.
Skip's the big winner. The average American overspends by $143 a week, and that comes out to about $7,400.
I love this game. Great job, Trish.
I don't know.
Well, yeah,
if you
discuss the answer with the co-host on the next studio.
Do you think those questions were too hard?
No.
No, those were great.
The questions are fine.
Yeah, I should have gotten Joan Jett. I screwed that up.
Yeah.
No, those were great. That was great.
That was good.
That was great.
Tony.
Yeah,
good job, Tony.
His first time playing.
I wanted to get on the scoreboard so bad.
I'm telling you, this is what happened to me, though, too. I won my first time playing, had a good run, and then just tanked.
I'm going back to the host.
But you weren't giving the answers up front like Tony was.
Oh, geez. Here we go.
And he's not going to play again until the 100th episode.
Yeah, so next time. Next time Tony's on the Annie Fry show and they do some kind of list of something, he'll play again.
Yeah. I want to host again if you ever want to play again.
No, I'm never going to play again, so I can always say I'm undefeated.
Right. Good strategy.
Yeah, right?
Good strategy.
I'm the only one that's undefeated. Well, we have a few minutes before the end of the show. Carl, we talked last week about, we have chair mic with Trish, the new practice facility for the St. Louis Blues.
I was out there.
Yeah, you were out there. And then also the Blues made a couple of pieces of news this week. Their names are now officially on the Stanley Cup, which is pretty cool.
Yes.
Yep.
That is cool. What's not cool is they're bringing back those god awful 90s jerseys with
the clown
red
jerseys, the Mike Keenan jerseys.
I hated those jerseys.
Only for three games a year.
It's three games.
What do you guys think of that?
I like it. I like throwback stuff like that.
I do too, but not the why throw back to the worst jerseys in the
history of the franchise?
I've got a signed Gretzky jersey in that motif.
Wayne was in that jersey. That's the jersey Wayne Gretzky played.
I've got a signed Gretzky jersey with that motif.
It was still an ugly jersey.
Oh, it is. But so here, you ever seen the Houston Astros throwback jerseys anywhere? You ever seen the
orange?
Yeah, the Chicago White Sox. I mean, there's a lot of ugly jerseys.
There are
out
ugly
there.
Cardinals jerseys as well.
Yes.
How awesome is that? Is that playoff facility?
It's beautiful.
Our practice facility.
The sound, the sound system is not great yet. You can't understand, like when Panger and Curbs were talking, you couldn't understand what they were saying because it's not built for acoustics. It's built to skate and for people to great sight lines, but they will fix the sound because a lot of people came up to me and said, I couldn't hear the music you were playing. I couldn't hear what they were saying. but it will get better. That was the first major event that they had. And for that, it was great, and it did exactly what it needed to do. The first preseason game is tomorrow, Sunday afternoon at 2:30.
That is absolutely amazing. Before we go, I have to say congratulations. My daughter had a big week. My 16-year-old daughter, our oldest, she is going to be second chair, first row of the high school orchestra this year.
All right. Wow. Way to go.
And that she is on homecoming court.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, right?
Oh, that is nice.
She's killing it.
Those two things are often mutually exclusive in high school.
That's
a very good point.
Does she have a date to the dance? And do you know this?
She does not have a...
I was wondering how that would go over with
you. All the 16-year-olds out there that listen to the Weekend Report.
Yeah.
They're all the 16-year-old men.
There's a single girl up north.
I'm going to have Skip stand behind me when somebody comes to pick up her. He's 7 feet tall.
Any 16-year-old is listening to the Weekend Report, they could date my daughter. Nerd City.
Skip, real quick, what's happened to Weber?
That's brutal.
Still, come on.
So, one more week left in the month. September has been phenomenal. Always is. You got great deals on 2020s for the first time. And still the closeouts on 19s with plenty in stock. So lots and lots of stuff to choose from. Please check out the website, WeberChevrolet.com. We'd love to get you a car this month or next month or whenever. Just check us out because I think we got the best deals and the best selection in town.
Great stuff. And thanks for letting me win.
I didn't let you win.
And thank you to Trish Giselle for hosting.
Trish found out what you talked about with Annie and made a question on it.
She did not know. You listened to it, Skip.
All right, don't forget,
heard the first one.
We had a crazy, crazy show today with James Knowles, the mayor of Ferguson, Corey Lewandowski, Karen Fessler from Iowa. Go check it all out on the podcast on the radio.com app. And for my partner, Chris Arps.
Yes.
Our producer, Carl Middleman. I am Tony Colombo. Thank you so much for listening to another edition of The Weekend Report. We'll see you back here next week on 97.1 FM Talk.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.